Before I begin recording, I'd like to apologize for my not very strong voice, and as well for the background noises that you may hear. After many months, I am back in Crown Heights, where Kan Tziva Hashem es HaBrocha, but that comes along with lots of noise in the background, so my apologies in advance. This week we're going to learn the Sicha from Chelek Yudalid, Parshas Kiseitze, Sicha Aleph. In Torah law, there are different categories of war. There is a Melchemes Mitzvah, generally a Melchemes Eretz Yisrael. This was a war fought by God's command, the recapture of the land of Eretz Yisrael. And this is a Melchemes Chayva, an obligatory war. And a Melchemes Rishus, an optional war, a war that was fought not by command of God, but perhaps by royal declaration, and always for the purpose of sustaining the needs of the people and the nation. This week's Sicha begins with a discussion of just such a war, one which Rashi will tell us is a Melchemes Rishus, an optional war, and which the Rebbe, in conclusion, will facilitate our understanding of this Melchemes Rishus, this optional war, according to Chassidus. The Parsha begins with the words, Kiseitze l'melchama aloivecha, if you go out to war against your enemies, unisanei Hashem alekecha biyadecha, and Hashem delivers your enemy into your hands, v'shavisa shivyoi, and you take captives. What kind of captive is the Torah referring to? The Psukim will continue to discuss and deal with the halachas regarding an ishas yifas toyer, a beautiful woman who one desires to take captive from the enemy. Rashi's commentary on the first words of the pasuk focuses on the idea that this melchama that is being discussed is a melchemes rishus and not a melchemes chayva, or a melchemes Eretz Yisrael. It is an optional war and not an obligatory war. Rashi says, Kiseitze lemelchama aloivecha v'shavisa shivya. When you will go out to war and upon your enemy, and you will take a captive. B'melchemes Rishus ha-Torah medaber. The Torah is speaking of a Melchemes Rishus, an optional war. Shebemelchemes Eretz Yisrael, ein loimar, for in regards to a war for Eretz Yisrael, a Melchemes Mitzvah, ein loimar, it wouldn't say, v'shavisa shivya, you will take a captive. For, Rashi says, we have already been instructed, shaharei kfar ne'emar, it has already been stated about the seven nations that inhabit the land, that of these people, of these cities, lo yisachaye kol neshama, you shall not leave any soul dwelling there. Either they converted them, or the citizens left under threat of death, so there would be no captive to take. The Rebbe questions Rashi's failure to discuss the word ki in his explanation that this is a Melchemes Rishus. Based on a Rashi, in Parshas Vayera, back in Bereishis, the word ki is very diverse and can mean four things, I, Dilma, Ela, and Kaasher, if, perhaps, but, and because. The most obvious meaning of ki is if, the one Rashi brings first. If means that an event under discussion isn't a sure thing. If something happens, And in our discussion, that would mean a voluntary war. A milchemes reshus, an optional war. An optional war isn't a sure thing. In fact, in Parshas Vayera, where this Rashi is learned, the key under discussion is in Sarah's denial to God that upon hearing the news that in her old age she would bear a child, she laughed, and then God's response to her, "No, but you did laugh." The usage of ki two times there serve as because when Sarah says it, and but when Hashem uses it. And Rashi teaches that our sages said ki is so diverse that it has four different meanings. But here, Rashi doesn't even bring a partial explanation of the word ki, which under the circumstances, if we're to understand that the pasuk speaks about a milchemes reshus and not a milchemes chayva or a milchemes mitzvah, explaining that ki here means if, would have been a sufficient explanation. If, ki, if they go out to war. A milchemes chayva or milchemes mitzvah isn't an if, but a milchemes reshus is. And this pasuk is talking about a milchemes reshus, an optional war. On the other hand, if Rashi wants to explain that this milchama that the pasuk is talking about is a milchemes reshus and is basing it solely on the words vishavisa shivya and not on ki, then the word ki, and indeed the word seitze, in other words, the words ki seitze, are actually unnecessary in the Divrei HaMaschil of the Rashi. Rashi could have begun with just the word lamilchama, to war. Yet, Rashi doesn't suffice with ki to explain that it's a milchemes reshus, an optional war, and Dafka uses vishavisa shivya to show that it's a milchemes reshus, that it is an optional war. The Rebbe now looks at ki from another angle. In the previous parsha, in Parshas Shoftim, there are three times that we find the word ki in reference to war. And each time Rashi explains ki differently, and differently to the ki in our parsha. The first time is the first verse in Shoftim Perek Chof. The pasuk reads, Ki seitze lamilchama aleivecha, v'ra'isa sus v'rechav, am rav mimcha, leisira mehem ki Hashem elekecha imach. When you go out to war against your enemy, and you see their cavalry in the multitude, far more than you, don't be afraid, for Hashem your God is with you. Now Rashi brings the Divrei HaMaschil of ki seitze, but Rashi doesn't say whether it is a milchemes reshus or a milchemes chayva or milchemes mitzvah, as opposed to in our verse, though the Sifri does explain there that it was a milchemes reshus. Rashi, however, gives no such explanation at all. Further on, in Perek Chof, in Pasuk Yud, we read, Ki sikrav el ir, lihilochem aleha, v'karasa eleha l'shalem. If you approach a city to wage war upon it, first call upon the people and propose peace. Here, Rashi explains the words, Ki sikrav el ir, b'molchemes harashus hakosov medaber. Rashi says this is talking about a voluntary war, an optional war, explaining that we know that this is an optional war because five psukim later, and Rashi quotes, Kein taset says, L'chol ha'orim harachaykes, so you shall do with all the distant cities. Rashi brings a pasuk that is a verse that is brought five psukim later, that would be pasuk tesvav, that speaks of going to battle and what you should do with the distant cities, the very distant cities, referring to cities outside of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, a milchemes rishus, not a milchemes chayva, which would be a milchemes Eretz Yisrael. From where does Rashi prove that it is a voluntary war? From the fact that there is a pasuk associated with this one, which references a situation that speaks clearly of a milchemes rishus. Again, Rashi does not use ki, if, to explain this. And in the third instance in Shaftim, on the words in Pasuk Yutes, ki satzor el ir yomim rabim lihilochem aleha, if you besiege a city for several days to wage war upon it, to capture the city, you may not chop down fruit trees, etc., as it says in the Pasuk. And Rashi does not comment on ki satzor el ir at all, telling us what kind of war it was. Rather, Rashi does comment on the words in this pasuk, yomim rabim, many days, and explains it to mean that rabim is three. So, ki satzor el ir yomim rabim, Rashi does not explain the ki satzor el ir, but Rashi explains yomim as three, rabim, many days, that you will besiege the city many days, and explains it to mean that we learn from here not to lay siege to a city more than 3 days before Shabbos, and that we offer the option of peace 2 or 3 days before we besiege the city. And then Rashi says, Obemalchemes Rishus Hakosuv Medaber. And this pasuk is talking about a Melchemes Rishus, an optional war. So in these three cases, we have the first pasuk, where we are not told what kind of war this is at all. Here, Rashi does not comment on that first key in any way. In the second, Rashi says it's a Melchemes Rishus, a voluntary war, which he learns from the pasuk that comes later that speaks of offering the option of peace to cities very distant, in other words, outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is a Milchemes Rishos. And in the third pasuk, Rashi again tells us that we are talking about a Milchemes Rishos, an optional war, after telling us that peace should be offered 2 to 3 days before. Much like our pasuk, these psukim all have the word ki. And whereas Rashi does not explain if the first pasuk is a milchemes rishus or otherwise, the other two are explained as optional wars, but the second one, on the basis of a later pasuk, though under the divrei hamaschil kisikarei velir, and the third not on the divrei hamaschil of kisotzor at all. Why in the second pasuk kisikrav el ir does Rashi bring proof from a pasuk that we read five psukim later? And in the third case, the Rebbe asks, Rashi explains this as a milchemes rishus only under the words rabim. So in no case does Rashi use the word ki to explain this as a milchemes rishus. And why does Rashi not base his reasoning on ki? If the most obvious meaning of ki, if they go to war, which would of course indicate an optional war, it would seem that ki does not serve to tell us that this is talking about optional or voluntary wars. And Rashi does not depend on the word ki to know this. Why is that? It seems obvious. And yet Rashi does not use the word ki in explaining these wars as optional wars. Why is this? The Rebbe asks. The Rebbe begins to explain. There are two possibilities for what ki can mean. One is if, and one is when. The words ki seitze lamilchama, if explained as when you go out to war, are followed immediately by the words v'shavisa shivyoi, and you will capture a captive. Perhaps, says the Rebbe, we might think the word ki isn't about the type of war that this is. Rather, it's about capturing a captive. When you go to war, and ki, if you capture a captive, then this, the directives that come in the following psukim, is what you do with a captive. Now, only in an optional war can you take captives. So ki here will not mean ka'asher, when you go to war, to a milchemes chayva. The when would be an obligatory war, a war of obligation, because ka'asher, when, would suggest a definitive thing. And in an obligatory war, or a milchemes mitzvah, you cannot take a captive, because as we said earlier, no one can remain alive in those cities under their former circumstances. So we can't suggest ki, kasher, when you go to war and you take a captive. We cannot suggest that ki means kasher here. So it's the fact that there is the taking of a captive in the pasuk that definitively tells us what ki means. It's an if, but we really only know it's an if from Vishavisa Shivya. The word seitze too needs explaining, says the Rebbe. It too can suggest two things. Seitze, to go out, can mean leaving, going out of your place, literally leaving the place where you reside, out to a place of war. But Bnei Yisrael did not yet have a residence anywhere. When they went to war, that was a milchemes mitzvah. That was why they went to war, to have a place where they could reside. Or seitze, going out, can mean leaving a place of peace to enter into a state of war. Once Rashi tells us, milchemes reshus hakosuv medaber, that the pasuk is talking about an optional war, we understand the word seitze as well. Thus, the need for both of these words, ki, seitze, in the Divrei HaMaschil of Rashi is obvious, for all of these words require and receive clarification with Rashi's explanation that this is a milchemes reshus. Ki, not that they will go out to war, but ki, as in if, and we only know if, because of Vishavisa Shivyei, you will take a captive, for one cannot take a captive in an obligatory war, in a milchemes chayva. One can only take a captive in a milchemes reshus. So the key becomes explained. The seitze becomes explained in the idea that they are going out to fight a war, leaving a place of peace and into entering into a state of war. Now we can look back at the psukim and shaftim and explore these, says the Rebbe. The first pasuk in shaftim in Perek Chof, ki seitze lamilchama aloyvecha, v'ra'isa sus v'rechev, am rav mimcha, le'sira ki Hashem aleikecha imach. When you go out to war against your enemy, and you see cavalry and a great multitude greater than you, do not fear, because Hashem your God is with you. In this instance, Rashi does not comment on what kind of war it is. Ki can mean if, a melchemes rishus, and it might mean ka'asher, when, a melchemes chayva. It might mean an optional war, and it might mean an obligatory war. What is important here is what happens when they are at war. They may see the enemy's cavalry, and if, ki, they are fearsome, because the cavalry of the enemy is greater in number, the command that Tzivui here is don't be afraid, because Hashem is with you. Because there's no indication for Rashi that this is a Melchemes Rishos, Rashi simply doesn't explain what kind of war it is. Looking at the third Pasuk in Shoftim, where Rashi only comments on what kind of war this is, a Melchemes Rishos, when he comments on the words Yomim Rabim, and explains these as you should give 2 to 3 days to offer peace, this tells us that this is a Melchemes Rishus, ki satzir al ir. When or if you besiege a city, will not tell us what kind of a war this is. Laying siege to a city, ki satzir al ir, is a war tactic in any war, whether an obligatory war or an optional war. Ki means when, and ki may mean if. And so Rashi does not seek to explain these words at all. Ki satzir is not relevant to the pasuk and will not help us understand what kind of war this is. Ki satzir al ir, when you besiege a city, again, it may be one kind of war, and it may be another kind of war. The only thing that tells us what kind of war this is are the words Yomim Rabim. The siege will last for many days. They are being offered peace in these days. This doesn't happen in a Melchemes Chayva, in an obligatory war. And we have a Pasuk and a Rashi, Pasuk Yud, and the explanation in Rashi that have already told us ki sikra vel ir lihi lochem oleha vikarasa eleha l'sholem. Back in Pasuk Yud, where Rashi told us that that was a Melchemes Rishus, and Rashi based it on the Pasuk and Pasuk Tesvav 5 psukim later, that says if you approach a city to wage war against it, first propose peace. And Rashi explains, B'melchemes Rishus HaKosuv Medaber, that Pasuk is referring to an optional war. Now we look at Pasuk Yud itself. Ki sikra vel ir lihi lochem oleha. So we went from the first Pasuk in Perek Chof, where Rashi does not actually address whether or not it is a Melchemes Rishus or a Melchemes Chayva, even though the Pasuk begins with the word ki, because the discussion there is, if you will go out to war and you will see the cavalry of your enemy and you will become frightened. It's not relevant what kind of war it is. There the tzivui is, do not fear because Hashem is with you. Then we skipped the second Pasuk and we went to the third Pasuk, ki satzir al ir, if you will besiege a city. And Rashi doesn't comment on the ki satzir. In that pasuk, Rashi does tell us that it's a Melchemes Rishus, that it's an optional war, but Rashi bases it on the words Yomim Rabim. Because what are the words Yomim Rabim for? Yomim Rabim means that what is happening in those days? In those days, they are being given the option for peace. And that doesn't happen in a Melchemes Chayva. They are not given the option for peace in a Melchemes Chayva. And the Rebbe says, and we know this because of Pasuk Yud, which we have not yet discussed. Pasuk Yud is the Pasuk that tells us that if you go out to a city, lihilachem oleha, and Rashi falls back on the pasuk and tells us that this too is a milchemes rishus. It's an optional war, but Rashi falls back on a pasuk that will be addressed only five psukim later, that talks about going out to war at a distant city and calling the people, giving the people the opportunity for peace. And that's a milchemes rishus. Now we look at pasuk yud itself. We go back to the second pasuk, pasuk yud. Kisikrav el ir lihi lochem oleha. In this case, it seems that this key is a definite reference to an optional war. And Rashi indeed brings the Divrei Hamaschil, Kisikrav v'goymer. Yet Rashi bolsters this explanation with a pasuk that will only follow five verses later. Why is that? Where can the question be in the case of this pasuk, in pasuk yud, when they are approaching a city to besiege it and they offer peace, whether or not it's a milchemes chayva or rishus? It doesn't seem like it's a question. And so the Rebbe explains that back in Parshas Chukas, as Bnei Yisrael were crossing through the desert, the Torah tells us that Moshe sent messengers to Sichon, the king of the Amorim, which was one of the seven nations that inhabited the land, but at the time this was in the Midbar, and asked peacefully, "Aevra ba'artzacha, loy nota basode uvekerem, loy nishte me be'er." Moshe said, "Let me pass through your land. We won't turn off into fields or vineyards. We won't drink your well water," which tells us that even in the case, seemingly, of a milchemes chayva, like a war for Eretz Yisrael, one should open and attempt peaceful communication. Of course, Moshe would not transgress the warning in Torah to not leave anyone living as they were before the war. That creates a question on this pasuk's key. We can't just determine on pasuk yud's key. We can't just determine because of the pasuk in Chukas that offering peace is definitively a milchemes rishus. And so Rashi brings pasuk tesvav as a support for this, that it is a milchemes rishus that pasuk yud is talking about, and says this is a proof. V'chein ta'ase l'chol ha'orim harachoykeis mimcha. This is what you should do, as it says in that pasuk, and Rashi explains, this is what you should do. You should offer peace with a very distant cities outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, what about the fact that Moshe offered peace to Sichon, the king of Amori? Well, says the Rebbe, Rashi brought the words, and therefore Rashi brought the words, Kisikrav el ir, when you approach a city. Why are you approaching a city? You're approaching a city in order to go to war. If that isn't the situation, if your intention isn't to go to war with the people of the city, you can open with peaceful words with these seven amimim, with these seven nations, who in Canaan needed to be fought absolutely, and not to leave any one soul existing as it existed before. But when your agenda is different, and Moshe Rabbeinu was not waging war, he did not approach them to wage war. He approached them to ask if he could have access and egress through their land. The Rebbe now offers a lesson of, in the Rebbe's words, inyonim muflo'im, wondrous ideas regarding the halacha that is found in this Rashi. In Rashi's words on our pasuk in Kiseitze, he begins by saying this is a pasuk about a milchemes rishus. But in explaining how that is, that one could not say Shavisa Shivya to take a captive in a milchemes chayva, Rashi does not actually use the term chayva, obligatory, but rather refers to the fact that in a milchemes Eretz Yisrael, one could not take Shavisa Shivya, one could not take a captive. And that's how we know that this pasuk is about a milchemes rishus. So Rashi uses the term milchemes rishus to tell us what kind of war this is about. But when he tells us what it's not, he uses the term that it's not a milchemes Eretz Yisrael. In fact, what would make a case for Rashi's explanation that this is a reference to milchemes rishus even stronger in terms of not addressing the idea of Shavisa Shivya is that the war against Amalek, regarding who we were commanded Timche as Zechar Amalek, to wipe out Amalek, is also considered a milchemes chayva. But that war is not a milchemes Eretz Yisrael. Yet, by using the term milchemes Eretz Yisrael and not milchemes chayva, which would have incorporated, for example, the war of Amalek, Rashi offers us a unique halachic insight. Indeed, when conquering the land of Israel, we may not allow for the taking of captives, and all unholy possible influences must not be permitted to continue to live and exist on the land. Even when it isn't a milchemes chayva, an obligatory war, within the land, one cannot leave any individual who might bring a negative influence. And so when we learn in Parshas Mishpatim that it took 7 years to conquer, empty, and then inhabit Eretz Yisrael, which was a very long time indeed, we understand that the reason is because Hashem said, slowly, slowly the land will be conquered, so that the land at no point becomes an Eretz Shmama, a desolate land. It's a milchemes Eretz Yisrael only so long as the land is emptied of those who would make it impure. None are allowed to live the way they lived before, or not allowed to live. And the land is immediately settled by Bnei Yisrael. So when the land was being conquered and it was delayed for 7 years, Yeshua intentionally allowed for 7 years to pass so that the land should not become desolate. This was a war for Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't a milchemes chayva. This facilitates our understanding of Rashi's words, Shebemilchemes Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Ein Loimar Vishavisa Shivya. No matter which war is being waged for and in the land, it may be chayva, as in a milchemes mitzvah, or otherwise, like the 7 years it took to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to populate it in the time of Yeshua, a shivya, a captive, may not be taken. No inhabitant may remain to influence the land negatively and with impurities. The words used to teach us this halacha are Loisechaye kol neshama. This is in fact a mitzvah for itself and is separate to the mitzvah of conquering the land, which is a mitzvah unto itself as well. In fact, to understand this fully, says the Rebbe, if we look at the very next Rashi in our pasuk on the words Vishavisa Shivya, Rashi comments that a Shivya here might be a Kna'ani. A Kna'ani? Not a Kna'ani in Eretz Yisrael, a Canaanite who was living in a foreign land. Even though the Canaanite is originally from the seven nations who must be driven out of Israel. But it's a reference to a Canaanite who is elsewhere, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So this is a Melchemes Rishus, an optional war, Rashi says. This based on the fact that the Pasuk says, Vishavisa Shivya, you will take a captive. And Rashi then further explains that this captive may even be a Canaanite, but not a Canaanite from within Eretz Yisrael, a Canaanite who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. Lest you think that Loisachaya Kol Neshama means not allowing anyone anywhere to live, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says no. It's only regarding those who are in Eretz Yisrael. And in a Milchemes Rishus, in a optional war, which happens outside of Eretz Yisrael, one may, in fact, take a captive. And even if this captive is from the original seven nations that inhabited the land. Now that we know that Kibush Ha'aretz, conquering the land, and Loisachaya Kol Neshama, not allowing any soul to remain alive, alive in order, in a way that it can taint the land of Eretz Yisrael and influence others. Now that we know that these are two separate mitzvahs, Rashi says a Kanani outside of Eretz Yisrael doesn't fall under this halacha. The Rebbe now turns to the lesson in Chassidus that can be gleaned from this Rashi. The Chassidic lesson here, the Rebbe says, seems a little unclear and difficult to understand. Chassidus explains at length how the words Kiseitze lamilchama aleivecha refer to the war the godly soul wages with the animal soul or the evil inclination during prayer particularly. This time of prayer is a battle. How do we connect this idea that prayer is a battle to the fact that Rashi explains that the battle that is referenced in the Pasuk, Kiseitze lamilchama, is a Melchemes Rishus, an optional battle, and not an obligatory battle? Is it not a chayva to do battle with our animal inclination or with our evil inclination? And so the Rebbe explains that there are two ways to engage the Yetzer Hara. One way indeed is to go to war, but there is another option, and that is to find a way of peace, and that would be a Melchemes Rishus. This way of peace is the study of Torah, which organically allows the Nefesh HaBamis to become cleansed by enhancing a Jew's human understanding of God and God's will. And so the nature of the battle of prayer, the effort involved in maintaining focus and commitment during prayer, can be flipped through the organic and natural purification that happens for a Jew in the Torah study he engages in preparation for prayer. And this concludes the Rebbe. We can refer to the effort of cleansing our Nefesh HaBamis, our animal soul, as a Milchemes Rishus, as an optional war, because there is an Aveda that does not require or obligate battle. And what is that Aveda? That is the Aveda of Torah study.